still did. He woke.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Garrison Financial Friday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk a little NBA playoffs. Man, Joel Embiid didn't look hurt last night, dropping 50. Denver just kills the Lakers. You're starting to see Laker fans on Twitter. It's so great. You're starting to see Laker fans with the hypothetical of, gosh, why didn't we lose to New Orleans because we would beat Oklahoma City? I love it. I love every second of it. Where will that series, where we're OKC in New Orleans, sit when we return on Monday? And then what will be the biggest storyline in the playoffs, period, when we come in here on Monday with what's happening tonight, tomorrow, and then into Sunday? Hit the high school baseball and slow pitch regional stuff in the middle of the show. And then right off the top, Scotty G's in the house, and we'll talk NFL draft, first round last night, second and third rounds tonight, and then the rest of it coming up on Saturday. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. If you've got something else on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area and stay in touch with the show a couple of ways, you can log on to kadsam.com, or you can download the free app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News, all right there. Check out the free copy of the Penny News this week. Also, Big Elk and Paragon TV. Speaking of Big Elk TV, 1 o'clock. This afternoon, Big Elks and McLeod, one Elk City win will put them into next week's area/super regional round. McLeod had to beat the Big Elks twice. I'll tell you what happened yesterday here at Ackley Park coming up in just a little bit. And of course, the podcast, it's everywhere. Anywhere a podcast drop. Jared, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Scotty G, how are you today?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
Okay, so NFL draft, it's an amazing spectacle that this thing has become.
Yeah,
I think they said like 275K hanging out at Detroit. They're trying to break the record. I think that was a one night record. It's so much fun. Like even when it was like in Radio City Music Hall, you know, you could always tell when it was the Jets' turn, when it was the Giants' turn. So then, like last night, I'm sitting there, we're texting back and forth. We've got about two or three different group texts going on. And it's the Cowboys pick, and of course they're going to take a break because they want to get build the suspense and all that. Well, they keep the little ticker on throughout the entirety of the commercial break, and I almost, if they wouldn't have shown Jerry as they were going to commercial, I was going to have somebody call the red phone and wake him up because nobody got closer to zero on the clock than the Cowboys. But then as they come back to break, I was watching ESPN, so it was Greeny. He said, you could tell there's an energy in the building. Well, it's because, of course, Dallas traded with Detroit, and Detroit couldn't wait to see what their pick was going to be. So that it's always cool, not only that, but then, of course, you know, Goodell gets a little needle out for the crowd as he announces that they're doing great, probably going to break the record. And, oh, by the way, it's Green Bay's pick, and we're going there next year, so Green Bay, try to break this record. You know, just he's really good at playing the crowd. Start with your Steelers. What did you think about who they picked, and is that what you would have done, or would you have liked to have seen something maybe a little bit different?
You know what I'd like to see, what I would have liked to have seen. I'd have liked to have traded Freiermuth. I would have liked to move up and gotten Bowers. Whatever we needed to do, trade Freiermuth and our first round pick, that should have easily gotten us up there in the top 10 and gotten Bowers. Like we said, that guy is a game changer. He will be, if he doesn't get injured, he's going to be a generational player. Might be the most dominant tight end in the league for the next decade. I mean, Kelsey's getting older. Who else is, you know, who's going to take the reins in that position? And that guy looks just as athletic, if not more so, than Kelsey. Like, I think if he stays healthy, he'll be as dominant at the position as Gronk was.
He looks awesome. And even the injury he had, I don't think it's one of those that you worry about.
No.
And so, I mean, I was surprised. But here's the deal. When everybody freaked out and started taking quarterbacks for absolutely no reason, it just kind of...
Bo Nix. Are you kidding?
Okay, so that's going to get up. I've got a list of questions to ask.
Who's the Denver guy that you know? Do you know a Denver guy? Because we need to make
Jeremy Taylor.
Call him out right here on the radio.
I cannot wait till Tuesday night scramble if Jeremy's there. He's the only Denver fan I know. He cannot be pleased with Bo Nix. There's no way. Were you surprised? Either one of you two. Were you surprised? I mean, I didn't think Bo Nix was going to go in the first round. I wasn't 100% convinced that somebody would take Penix in the first round either. And then you look up, and there's been 12 picks, and six of them are quarterbacks. I mean, that absolutely shocked me.
Yeah, blew my mind.
Well, the Penix thing was just dumb, right?
We'll get there.
So, yeah, to answer your question, it shocked me, yes.
I mean,
you say that. I'll tell you right now, I knew that Bowers wasn't going to fall to Pittsburgh where they were.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that Pittsburgh would take Penix if he fell that low.
I said yesterday I was hoping the Cowboys were going to take him at 24.
Yeah.
Get off the Dak train. It gives you a stepping off point off of that Dak train.
Yeah.
And that,
you know, if Fields works out for Pittsburgh, great. If he didn't work out for Pittsburgh, then Penix got to sit behind Russell Wilson or Fields for a year or two, and here we go.
Yeah, it's not – the Atlanta thing isn't that you don't think Penix can play, but it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, if you were
going
to.
That's probably what you were getting at, right, Jared?
Yeah.
Why would you pay a guy? How much?
Well, $180 million.
Imagine getting a raise and then your boss hiring your replacement within a.
Getting a raise, having somebody.
Well, yeah.
Having some. It's like.
You're getting the vote
the
of
hot
getting,
chick asking you out. And then you find out she's got another date the next night with another guy.
Yeah.
You just got a vote of confidence from your superiors, and then you're like, wait, what? You drafted who?
Well, in the there's lots of things that don't make sense about this. The main one is by the time that Kirk Cousins' contract is done in Atlanta, Penix will be 28 years old. He's already old.
I forgot that he is older.
He's 24.
Yeah.
He's already 24.
Did he play baseball or something?
No, he got hurt. He's hurt both. He blew out both ACLs.
Oh, that's not a good sign either.
Right. He's dislocated both shoulders.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's...
Jeez.
I don't know what Atlanta's doing.
I don't think Arthur Blank knew what they were doing.
Oh, did you see the video?
That does not look good.
No, GM trying to...
He's trying to explain it.
You couldn't hear anything. So, but everybody's thinking, oh, this got to be him trying to explain to the owner what the hell they took Michael Penix
for. It was like
for.
The owner off draft day coming in and going, you son of a...
Hang on a minute.
Hold on. You could fire me at the end of the night. Hold on.
Let me go. Let me go here. Yeah, that's what it looked like. I mean, he was just like... And then you see, I just saw a picture just pop up on Twitter right now of kind of the press conference afterwards. And it says, these guys look like the GM and the player development guy or whatever. They look like hostage situation having to tell how they told Kirk Cousins.
And it's not just the fact that you have Kirk Cousins. You also have a running back that looked like he deserved to be a first-round pick. I mean, Atlanta's offense was kind of poised to really be pretty stinking good next year with maybe a wide receiver or, you know, maybe a tight end.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that they were going to take Dallas Turner. I mean, every mock draft I saw had Atlanta taking Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
And, you know, generate some pass rush. Because you're right. I mean, it really seemed like they knew what they were doing in free agency when they got Cousins because of the guys that they had put around him and the weapons that they create. I mean, I couldn't wait. Like, I've had Kyle Pitts in fantasy just waiting on that to work because he was one of those freak athlete tight end guys at Florida. And then you look around and Desmond Ridder or whoever the heck's playing quarterback, just terrible.
Yeah.
Now you got Kirk Cousins. You're like, yes. Like, I can't remember if I ended up trading or getting rid of Kyle. What's his name? It flew out of my head. What's his last name? Pitts.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, Pitt. Yeah. No, yeah.
Like, I was thinking, should we keep him? Like, we're in a keeper league. Should we keep him because Cousins is there to – unleash his potential.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And crazy. You're just going, what in the world?
Crazy, crazy.
Well, good look. It doesn't help anything in the locker room. There's going to be that doubt, that seed of doubt in his mind. I don't know what they're thinking.
Okay, so quarterback-wise, six of those guys taken in the first round, which tied the all-time record back with 1983.
I hate to be a quarterback in next year's draft. No one's going to need one.
Well, they always need them because, listen, by the time this year's over, about three of these teams that drafted one last night will go, you know what? This guy ain't any good.
Yeah,
let's go. And Denver's going to be one of them. But of the six that were drafted last night, which one of these guys do you think has the best chance of succeeding in the short term? And then it can be the same guy long term, or is it a different guy that you think can go ahead and succeed long term?
Because of, and not just because of who he is and his skill set, but because of what Chicago did at 9, I think they're clearly trying to build around Caleb Williams. So I think he has potential to have immediate success.
Well, and I think Chicago was looking like they could be turning the page last year.
Yeah.
You know? So it definitely looks like they're giving him the support that he needs. I don't really know.
I think it's JJ.
Yeah, long
term. And I don't even think he's that good. But no, I'm talking about short term.
Short term.
Oh, just short term?
I'm talking about short term. I think it's JJ McCarthy because of the situation that he's in.
Yeah.
I like their coach, Kevin O'Connor. I think he's got an offensive line that can keep him upright. And then he's got weapons galore.
Yeah, he does.
Aaron Jones at the running back that they picked up from Green Bay. Hawkinson.
I forgot that they got Jones.
Yeah, they got him. Yeah. They got Hawkinson at tight end. And obviously Jefferson, Jordan Addison showed that he can make plays as a rookie last year. I don't know that J.J. McCarthy should be the 10th pick overall. I don't think he should.
And I don't know why they did that. I mean, I feel like that was an incredible reach.
But a great spot for him, though.
I don't know. Maybe Mel Kiper did that all on his own. Because Kiper was touting him pretty big going in.
So we got to vote for Penix on the text line.
What do you think about?
Also, Cousins coming off an Achilles. Everyone understands that. So if you're going, but if you're going to make that move, if you're Atlanta and paid him $180 million, then you've made your move. or just don't do that and draft Penix. It's not necessarily that the fact that they just on its self drafted him. It's that they drafted him after they paid Cousins $180 million
in the top 10.
That's what doesn't make. Yeah, with the eighth pick.
Yes,
it's not like this is the third round.
That was the kicker.
It was the eighth pick. And it's like you're sending both signals. You're sending the signal of, hey, we're going to win now. We like what we've got, and so pick somebody at eight that would help you do that.
Bowers.
While you've got,
what would Bowers do when you got?
I mean, you've got Pitts already.
Bijan Robinson.
You may already have that with Pitts.
Yeah.
And you could get something else. But then to draft a backup quarterback at eight, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Long term, I think long term, if you watched ESPN, so it was Kiper and it was Lewis Riddick and Booger. Actually, I really enjoyed Booger.
I like Booger.
I hate him when he does the games, but not on the games, but that was really good. And they kept on beating this horse to death of, outside of Caleb, because they just kind of view him as the most talented guy. But every other quarterback that was picked, it was basically, these guys can't just, these guys being the general, the coaches and the front office people, they can't just leave these brand new quarterbacks out on an island. And they really drove it home when the Patriots took Drake May, and they're like, hopefully they learn from the mistakes that they just made when they drafted Mac Jones a couple of years ago at 15. He's not Tom Brady. Drake May's not going to be Tom Brady either.
I don't understand.
Help him.
I don't understand drafting Drake May.
I think
they have so many needs. He's going to get murdered.
Yeah, there's a chance of that.
He is going to get waylaid. And I just don't understand. My brother's a big Patriots fan. It's been fun watching him suffer.
Have to suffer just a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, everybody.
I think he's going to be suffering a little bit longer because, I mean, the Patriots' offense is just abysmal. I don't play fantasy football, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I can name a guy on the Patriots' offense.
Oh, there's only one worth having, and he's barely worth having. It's Ramondre Stevenson. So, he's the only one that's worth having.
Yep. What team was your biggest winner? What team was?
Chicago. I think. I love what they did.
Yeah. I think they were pretty wise. I think they were. How do you feel about Dallas?
There was two guys that I thought they was going to pick and they could have had either one of them. They clearly had targeted Tyler Guyton, and they clearly knew that trading down wasn't going to cost them Tyler Guyton. I also like the guy from Duke, the offensive lineman. And they could have had him at 24. Instead, they traded back. Buccaneers took him at 26. So, you know, offensive line help was it would have been, you know, you could look at Worthy, you know, when in the original slot that they picked. They could have had any of those receivers that are still kind of out there at the time. But
well, I think that's the question.
I think they did the right thing. When you look at the teams that are succeeding, almost every one of them are building through the front, up front. And so I don't mind it. I think he's athletic. I think he could just sit out there at right tackle and go play. And, you know, they made the point last night, and I think it's right. You put him at right tackle, he's right next to a Hall of Famer in Zach Martin at the guard spot. But I don't think Dallas is done offensive line-wise. They still need more.
Yeah.
That's why Barton, I think, was so intriguing to me, because he played tackle at Duke, but most people think he's going to be a center in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And did you hear Mel? Did you watch it? Mel had my stats from the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
did he?
The bust
thing. I heard you the other day,
And he goes, oh, yeah, only one center is busted in the last 20 years. They're 11 out of 12. And I was like, ha. He got that from Schefter just like I did.
He might have been listening to your show.
Yeah, well, never know.
They have him listed as a center. So I think that's Barton. That's what they intend to use him for.
Mm-hmm.
That really helps out.
Baker, for sure.
Baker, for sure, yeah.
You know.
I like the pick for Dallas. So you're asking who won last night. Chicago's an easy answer, and I respect it. I like it. I mentioned it earlier. I think they're building around him. But Kansas City cannot keep getting away with this, can they?
Golly, come on, man.
Xavier Worthy, come on.
Yeah,
when
we'll see.
Happened, I was thinking of Jesse Pinkman, where he's crying. You just watch Breaking Bad. It's like, he can't keep getting away with this. And I'm like, oh, come on. Can they just – but you know, I think maybe it's a safe pick, but they traded up to get him. But
Was there ever a more guaranteed spot for him to land than Chiefs taking Worthy?
I remember talks of this like a couple weeks ago. I thought, oh, God, I hope that doesn't happen, kind of jokingly saying that, and it happened.
So if you're the Bills, though, think about this. If you're the Bills, you can't beat them. They are the reason that you won't win or haven't been winning Super Bowls. And then you're the one that facilitates the trade.
Yeah. That gives them what they want.
That gives them exactly what they want. And by the way, it's something you need, too.
Yeah, whether it was something you needed or not, why would you give your biggest problem your pick?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even answer the phone. I wouldn't listen to anything that they had to say.
Well, and everybody and their dog knew as soon as that logo changed on the screen and it went to the Chiefs. Was there ever a more mortal lock that they were taking Xavier Worthy? It was a guarantee. Yeah. Guarantee. That was odd. Not necessarily that Kansas City traded up to get him, but that the Bills did it.
Yeah, the Bills did it.
That's
now there's been a lot of talk, and of course then the Bills traded out of the final spot. Back one pick with Carolina. There's been a lot of talk since that happened that one of the reasons why they did that at the time, going from 32 to 33, was now that starts to give them all the time in the world to try to make a trade for either Brandon Ayuk or also T. Higgins, who demanded a trade yesterday. I kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit with all the draft stuff, but T. Higgins in Cincinnati demanded a trade. So, you know, if you're the Bills – Do you maybe, you know, the first pick in the second round is pretty valuable. Do you just swap that straight up if you know, San Francisco or Cincinnati will give you a more proven commodity than maybe what Adonai Mitchell would be or whoever else they might want to think about drafting at that right wide receiver spot? So that the trading with the Chiefs thing didn't make any sense to me, just because all you're doing is helping the team you can't beat. But then when they move back another spot, maybe that – allows them the freedom to start exploring a different trade. All right, this may be a unanimous choice here. Who was the worst pick of the night?
who was the worst pick of the night, or had the worst draft?
The worst pick, the worst singular pick of the night.
Worst singular pick of the night. I mean, I would say Atlanta wasting it on Penix, not necessarily wasting it, because I want him. I mean, I wish he was going to Pittsburgh, but I would say that was the dumbest pick of the night. The worst pick of the night? I don't know. I feel like you've got one teed up.
Oh,
the way you're looking.
1,000,000%, who? I think, worst pick. Who do you got, Jared? I think this is the easiest question I'm going to ask all day.
It's like the answer is questions. I'm with you about the Penix thing. It's not that he's a bad quarterback. Just where he went is just a dumb move. So we're missing something.
Who do you got? What are we missing?
Bo Nix. What a horrible pick.
Yeah, I already brought him up. I didn't know you were. Yeah, he was. That was awful.
Bo Nix at 12. Sean Payton. Yeah, and you know good and well, he's watching this tape thinking, "Ooh, this is my second Drew Brees." No.
No, he doesn't look anything
Bo
like
Nix
Drew
is terrible. I'm telling you right now, I've never been more confident in saying that a quarterback is going to bust than Bo Nix.
Yeah.
You know the only reason Bo Nix was any good? And Tyler Harrison has just hammered this all season long for the last two. Because he left the SEC and went to the Pac-12. And he could throw it from me to you and watch those guys run around.
And not have any pressure.
Yes.
That's just like I had a good friend of mine, David Bentley, texted me the other day. Did you see Texas spring game?
Oh, yeah.
Manning lit it up. You know what? It's real easy to light it up when you got a red jersey on, folks. It's a whole nother ball game when you ain't going to get hit.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt Bo Nix is the worst pick.
That's who I think had the worst first round is Sarkisian. How many Texas guys went in the first round?
Two.
And then there were several others that they were talking about. I mean, I knew that the team was loaded, but my gosh.
You're gonna hear a bunch of dudes off the
tonight?
Bat tonight.
Yeah.
You know, I think Sweat, if he wouldn't have gotten trouble in the he probably would have
been three.
But here's the deal though. The looniness with what happened to the quarterback screwed everything up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you get down, I mean, I was sitting there, you know, thinking, you know, Barton or Guyton would be kind of what Dallas would have to just kind of go with. By the time they got there, when they traded, there was all kinds of dudes that I thought, wow, I don't care. I can't believe these guys are here. Well, and part of it's because of what happened at 8 and what happened at 12 and, you know, and the fascination with J.J. McCarthy. All right, what was the best pick of the night?
I mean, Bowers dropping all the way to 13 is the best pick of the night. I do think what I texted you when I started watching last night.
Uh-huh.
Alt, did you see that kid last night?
The Notre Dame offensive lineman
from Notre Dame?
No, I was still
What they say? 6'8"?
6'8", 340 or something?
Yeah, and he looks like he's 12 years old. Pull up a picture of the guy.
Yeah.
He is not done growing. Mm-mm. I mean, there's not a hair on his face. That dude is going to be a monster.
Yeah, he looks.
Does he not look 12 years old? Yeah. Like he hugged his girlfriend. His girlfriend, it was almost kind of creepy because you were like, what's that older chick doing with that little kid? Except he's not little.
Yeah. And his dad was an offensive lineman in the NFL, first-round pick as well.
Same thing there, too.
What do you like, Jared? What was your best pick of the night?
The best pick, I liked Harrison Jr. to Arizona.
Yeah.
I like how Arizona is still sticking with Murray. There's some talk there if that was going to be a thing. So that I talk about vote of confidence for quarterbacks. That gave, like, hey, Murray,
well, that'll
we
definitely
like it. We're
be,
keeping
that'll
you.
Definitely be it. If you can't get her done.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. But then getting Harrison, go, here's your weapon. Here's your guy. So we're our vote of confidence is bringing him in and helping you out. A lot of people saw him going at 4 and you know, with all the quarterback craziness that was happening, who knows? But I like that one right there.
How big of a mistake? That's a great point. And here's a great question. How big of a mistake was it for Arizona to not pick up Hollywood Brown's contract for nothing and have him as the number two guy?
Yeah,
I mean, that would have been, I don't know. I think that was a big mistake.
I'm gonna take Alt as well, but with the caveat of I think the most important thing about them taking him was they weren't stupid enough to trade Justin Herbert and like draft JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think Harbaugh did? I think Harbaugh played like 4D chess with this McCarthy thing, building it up, talking about how good he was just to get somebody to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And he was hoping maybe that it would be with him, and then who knows the treasure trove of picks he was trying to generate. There was no doubt, though, when they didn't trade out of that, everything you saw was Alt going to Tennessee. But once they kept that pick, I didn't think there's any doubt that's who they were taking. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen how Harbaugh built teams before in San Francisco. Obviously, completely against the grain in college up at Michigan. And now he's going right back at it again. And it was funny. He was asked about weapons. You know, he didn't think about getting a weapon for Herbert. And he said, I view offensive linemen as weapons.
There you go.
That just tells you the philosophy that he has. I thought that was a fantastic pick.
Yeah. And I'm not mad about my Pittsburgh pick. I think that guy, he looks like a freak.
You got the guy from Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kuiper had him like 10th overall, and he went 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pittsburgh's going to get a good grade from him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people are going to say Worthy here on the text line because of, you know, we'll see. You know, the one thing about replicating Tyreek Hill's production in Kansas City is you have to have Tyreek Hill to do it.
Yeah.
Just because dudes are fast don't mean they're Tyreek Hill.
Exactly.
It just I get the fascination with it.
Tyreek Hill is not just fast. People don't realize how strong he is also.
Yeah, look at him. He's like a muscle.
Yeah.
Like a bowling ball.
Like the NFL version of me, right?
Close, but not really.
I think that one of the best picks is going to surprise a lot of people, and I didn't really see much of the guy play this year because I didn't watch Florida State. Did you see the highlights of the Verse kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, listen.
Did you see him knock the tackle into the quarterback and, like, knocked them both 5 yards down the field and knocked them down? I mean, both of them. Just obliterated him. And that was the first hit that he put on the tackle.
I can remember him, you know, that him, just the whole team, really, on the offense or the defensive front, just wrecking games. I mean, think about that LSU game.
Yeah.
They just wrecked them.
Yeah.
And Jaden Daniels ends up winning the Heisman, and you look at his numbers against them versus everybody else, and it's like he wasn't even playing the same game.
Yeah.
I like that one. There's, you know, defender, of course, 23 offensive, 9 defensive players. I mean, it's obvious that the league is going more offense. Just look at the head coaches that are hired every single offseason. It's more and more.
Yep. And the rules. The rules are changed. I mean, now the stupid hip drop rule. I mean, they're trying to make it as difficult as they can for defensive players, without a doubt.
No doubt about it. All right, Scotty, what is happening? Oh, last thing. What intrigues you the most moving forward? What are you kind of be? What will you be watching outside of who the Steelers take? What will you be watching? It's kind of an overall view of the draft.
Tonight's my favorite night. The first round one's great, but round two is interesting. You can really see what are these guys putting into their thoughts on how they're going to develop their team. It's good stuff. It's like building a portfolio.
Yeah. And so how would we do that, Scott?
Oh, so yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight. It's going to be good stuff. How many picks does Dallas have tonight?
One.
Just one. Okay. How many picks? Oh, that's the biggest loser. That's what I was going to say. I forgot to say it. The biggest loser last night didn't have a pick.
The Bills?
The Browns.
Oh.
Oh, the Browns.
Browns.
You know how bad they're going to be for – I mean, they might never get out of the hole that they're in. But that Deshaun Watson trade.
Did you see the GM just the last week or so? He's already thinking about extending him.
Oh, my gosh.
Please do. Browns, please do.
Oh, my gosh.
Already. Like, oh, yeah. Please like what we've seen. We're thinking about extending him.
What have you seen?
He holds the clipboard nice. I don't know.
My God. Gosh, yeah. I mean, that trade might be as bad a trade as the Herschel Walker trade.
I'll tell you what's if Caleb is good, people are going to go back and look at that trade between the Panthers and the Bears.
Yeah,
did you see all that they got?
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's a great point, too.
It's the Panthers, Bryce Young. The Bears, I mean, it's just this laundry list of dudes. Yeah. And if Caleb is good – Yeah. That one's going to be mentioned for years and years.
Yeah.
Alongside
look
some
at what
of that.
The Titan, or look at what the Texans have done.
That's right.
Yeah, them too.
Yeah, and they had enough ammo to end up with not only C.J. Stroud, but then enough ammo to trade with Arizona, get Will Anderson.
Rookie of the year.
That's right. It can be up there. There's no doubt about it. All right, seriously, what's going on down at Garrison Financial?
Hey, we're just helping people. Biggest thing that we're doing, and a lot of people don't realize, is that we try to maximize tax savings. And there's lots of different ways to do that. A lot of people don't realize that they can give investments as their charitable gifts. And so if they have a certain stock that's done really well and they make a charitable gift to an organization every year, let's give that stock over there. Now we don't have to sell the stock. We don't have to pay the capital gains tax on the stock. And you got to make your contribution to whatever charity that is. So there's a lot of different ways that we help people with their taxes that people just don't realize. Yeah, come down and talk to us.
That's a fantastic way because if you saw the news just the last day or two, the commander-in-chief is looking at bumping the capital gains to 46%.
When you just keep giving money away, you got to find a place
to get it.
Got to
find a place to get it somehow, right? All right. Thank you, Scotty G. Have a great day.
Yep. You guys take care.
Scott@SoonerWealth.com is his email address, 821-1219. The phone number down there at 124 North Main right here in Elk City. Scott@SoonerWealth.com. When we come back, there's a bunch of high school baseball and softball played yesterday. We'll tell you kind of how it went for the local team. Skinny on Sports on the Garrison Financial Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Garrison Financial Friday. Getting set for the Big Elks this afternoon. Regional finals right here at Ackley Park against the McLeod Redskins. It'll be a 1 o'clock first pitch. 1 o'clock. That has changed since the original bracket. 1 o'clock this afternoon for the Elks and the McLeod Redskins. All right, so we were there yesterday, Jared, for 2 for Elk City. 10-0 win over Purcell. 9-0 win against McLeod. Game 1, Cash Mayfield on the mound just absolutely dominated on that side of it. Pitched 6 innings. Didn't give up a hit. Walked 1. Struck out 15 of the 18 outs. And then at the plate, sophomore Jackson MacArthur got the thing started. The very first pitch at the bottom of the first, he hit over the left field wall. And from there, goes 4-for-4, hits for the cycle. The Elks win 10-0 in game 1 over Purcell. You know, it kind of those guys were our players of the game. But it's just, you almost kind of run out of things to say to describe what you see out there on the mound when Cash is there.
Good. I mean, that's it. Just good. I was asked that yesterday after I'd left, after we were done, and everyone asked me how to go. So, oh, they won easy. Well, how'd Mayfield look? So first off, you should have been there to see it, because seeing it in person is totally different than, you know, we want you to watch Big Oak TV, but to be there to see it, to hear the hum, to hear the snap of the pop of the glove, you know it's there. But you're right. There's just so many stuff you could say about him. I just said he's good. That's what he is. It's fun, and there is so much stuff you could say about him, but just so good is what it is. It's amazing to see. I was blown away. I mean, we knew what we were going to see, right? We've seen him the last few years. You've seen him a lot. I was amazed by the amount of the scouts in the stands.
Oh yeah,
to be frank,
it's every game.
Just every game that he's in. That was. I was kind of sports nerding out seeing that and seeing all the jug guns and leaning over and seeing how fast he was throwing, and not just his fastballs, but his breaking balls and how much he's able to take off of that and his total control of the game. And that is cool for me. So he gives the Big Oaks a real, real good chance to go all the way this year.
Yeah, to win any game. Any game he's pitching.
Any game he's pitching, yeah.
Just to give you an idea, Brave Scout was kind of right to the right of you, so we could see his gun the best when he had. The guys in front of me really never had one. Every now and then they'd fire one up, but they never. It's almost like they were kind of trying to be secretive, not showing each other what they had, what they were getting. I was talking to Mont after it was over. We saw a bunch of 94s, a 95, some 93s. He said that the highest that anybody recorded was 97.
Yesterday?
Yesterday on a pitch. And that's, to my knowledge, I think that's the fastest. That anybody that he's ever, you know, been clocked or what have you was he said it was actually 96.6, I think he said 96.5, but they round up. 97, and I think he was pretty pumped about that. But yeah, it was absolute dominance. And you know, here's what's crazy about it, and this is no offense whatsoever to this to the guy that threw the second game, because Bryce is damn good. Bryce Mouse was awesome. He gave up 2 hits, no runs. Walked 1, struck out 11, I think.
Yeah, I said it yesterday. He's ace.
Fantastic.
He is the ace on a lot of state contending teams.
Yeah, and it just
the problem is he's on the team with Cash Mayfield.
Yeah, it just doesn't look the same. I mean, because he is fantastic.
He was great too. Yeah,
yeah, he was. The Elks threw 13 innings of defense. They struck out 26 hitters. So that's, I'm not great at math, but that's 2 an inning combined between Cash and Bryce yesterday. You're not ever going to lose if you don't give up any runs, and that's what happened. The Elks 2 shutout wins. So they'll play McLeod today, 1 o'clock. If they win that one, they're on to the next week's area tournament. If they lose, then they'll play again at 3:30. Then that'll be a complete elimination game for both sides. Looking around 4A, really nothing has surprised yet in these regional tournaments. The teams that you would expect to win have. There could be a possibility of maybe a little bit of an upset today, depending on what happens. But Blanchard's moved on. They just absolutely dominated their regional. 3 shutouts. They beat Plainview yesterday 23-0, so they're already in. Bethany's won two games, so they'll be in the regional final today. Marlowe's already through. They had a little bit of trouble, a couple of close games, but Marlowe's is on into the super regionals. Tuttle is just about to be there. They're in the same place with the Elks. 2 shutout wins, and so they're waiting on an opponent today to play. Clinton Red Tornadoes lost to Sulphur, but then turned around to beat Harding, and so they'll play Sulphur, I'm pretty sure, is their opponent today to try to, you know, get back into a chance to move on. And then Weatherford eliminated yesterday by Chickasha 13-2. So Chickasha has moved on. The teams that he expected to do really well have done really well so far in 4A. Now down in Class A, Canute Trojans on to the spring baseball state tournament in Class A, a 7-6, 8-inning win over Caddo yesterday. Awesome stuff. That game was back and forth, back and forth. You kind of had it on the game changer sitting there on the table, and I kind of glance over, and it seemed like Caddo would be ahead, and then all of a sudden you felt like Canute kind of had control of it, up 6-4, and then Caddo sends it to extra innings, and then eventually in the eighth, Canute wins 7-6.
Yeah, congratulations, Coach Blackburn, getting them there, you know, having to go all the way to Caddo and going undefeated down there and getting the win, getting them to the state tournament. Good job. Shout out to Clay Randall, who was pitching. He went the distance as allowed. I think he went, how many pitches can you go and then finish?
125. I think we saw him at 123.
Yeah, and you know how game changer works. There's a big delay. I'm thinking, well, either somebody popped up and then boom, they made a pitching change. Nate Bryant came in, got the out, rest is history. That's an awesome job because last fall they struggled. Let's be honest. They had a struggling fall season, and I talk a lot because it's a sophomore-heavy class. I talk a lot about how they are maturing in this one school year in front of our eyes, going back to that fall baseball season, to the basketball season. We saw how much of a much more of a team as they played. Again, that comes with maturity, and then how they're able to turn it around this baseball season in the spring. So they got a good shot. I don't know the field. I didn't sit down and look at it. Assume the brackets will come out later this weekend. I don't think everything's done yet.
Mm-mm.
But you know, Jake Butler, his last few outings, he has been fanning them down, mowing them down. He's been on point and at the right time of the year. So I fully expect him to have a good state tournament, hopefully, in the first game. That gives them a shot to get into that semifinal. Then you never know what could happen. And also with Lane Gredeman, too, coming off of the arm surgery. And he appears to be 100% healthy. And that's what it takes in a state tournament. You need three really good pitchers. And if you can get three really good outings of those three I just mentioned, Randall, Butler, and Gredeman, they got a good shot. Should be fun. So good job. Good job, boys.
So Knute's there. Also already punching a ticket is Granite in Class B. The Panthers went to number 8, Caney, and beat them twice. 8-7 yesterday. So Granite is in.
They went on the road, too.
They went on the road awesome. To get it done. Arapahoe Butler's hosting, and they had two wins yesterday. Beat Velma 17-0, and then Ripley 4-2. So they're in the driver's seat of that regional, waiting on an opponent to play this afternoon for a chance to punch their ticket.
They're a good team.
Into the Class A state tournament. Also, Navajo is in the same spot, as they just absolutely dominated. 23-2 over Turner and 23-1 against Mason. Turner and Mason will play because Mason beat Mason beat Asher, I think is what it was. No, that was from earlier. So I need a Turner-Asher score, I guess, is what I'm looking for. Anyhow, so that's they're just kind of hanging out waiting on an opponent to be able to move on. Others, Sentinel was knocked out by Dewar. Man, Dewar scored some runs, my friend, throughout the entirety of that regional. 11-0, 17-4 over Sentinel, and then 14-7 over Sentinel. So they rang up over 40 runs in three games down there hosting that one. So Dewar got in, Sentinel knocked down. A good season for Coach Carter and the Bulldogs. Just comes up a little bit short of the Class A state tournament. And then also, let's see, Shattuck's still going. They beat Red Oak, then they lost to Tushka. And they're going to get to play Red Oak again. As Red Oak beat Hominy 16-3. So they'll have to, it'll be Shattuck and Red Oak. Winner of that has to beat Tushka twice in order to get to the Class A baseball state tournament. Also, the Leedy Bison season ended yesterday as they fell to Kiowa. And so Leedy is out in the regional round. Hammond's still going. Hammond will play today. Let's see. Oh, no. You think they got beat 13-3 twice? Or do you think that's just entered twice?
Same opponent, I assume?
Exact same opponent.
I don't know.
I think it was just entered twice against Calumet. I think Hammond will play again today. As they won. They beat Big Pasture, lost to Calumet. So they'll play either Mod or Big Pasture, and I can't find a score for that one. So that's baseball. Lots of it still going today. And then, of course, we'll get to the state tournament next week with A and B, and then the super regionals for the other schools. Also, Merritt knocked out Sayre, battle for Beckham County, district baseball style. Merritt beat Sayre twice over at Sayre yesterday, 11-8 and 8-7. All right, slow pitch softball. Who all's in?
I got you right here if you need it.
Arapahoe's in. Hammond's in. Leedy's in. Cheyenne's out. Navajo's in. Who else you got?
Well, Canute. We mentioned
Canute. Yeah, Canute was Canute. The other day.
I think you got it all. I mean, some other area teams like Mountain View, Godibo's
Mountain
in.
View,
Lukeba
yeah.
Sickles is in.
Bingaroni. Bingaroni's in.
They're in, yes. That's pretty much all. Did you mention Navajo girls?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the local teams in our area.
Hydro won the first game, then lost two in a row. So they're out. They were close. Needed one win.
Okay, back to baseball real quick. I got it from our man Ed. At least what Hammond's schedule is today. They play at noon against Big Pasture.
Okay, that's a team they beat 25-10 in game one.
And then the winner plays Calumet right after.
Okay. And then I'm sure there's an if game probably tomorrow.
If Hammond are able to win.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, the brackets are out. I don't know if you saw those.
No, for
slow pitch.
Slow pitch? Oh, my gosh.
They are out. So let's go with, we'll start with Class B.
Never even considered looking.
I got alerted, so I didn't either. I figured it'd be this weekend.
Yeah.
They play, this all on Wednesday at Hall of Fame Stadium. Leedy will play at 2:30 against Chattanooga. Mountain View Gotobo and Lukiwa Sickles play each other at 2:30 as well on a different field. That's just, I'll just call out our local teams. In Class 2, or let's go to Class A, Navajo will play Red Oak at 11:30. Hammond and Stewart also at 11:30. Bingeroni against Moss at 11:30. And then in the 2A bracket, Canute gets the, they all get the early one, 8:30 games. Canute will play Wacomas, team they're suddenly familiar with from the basketball court, now on the softball field. And Arapaho and Surreal will play at 8:30. And on the other side of the bracket, Shattuck, kind of in our area, plays Sterling. So if Arapaho and Canute were both to win, they'll play each other in the semifinal. Little local flair there at 1 o'clock and championship games at 4. There you go.
Yeah, so I'm looking
all day Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm looking at 3A, nobody. 4A, anybody? Hinton,
yeah.
Hinton plays Spicola, 1 o'clock. That's on Tuesday. So they'll play. It's probably the bigger schools Tuesday and the smaller schools Wednesday. Makes sense? That's why these are out. Because it's coming up first of next week.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anybody? Cash. Cash is in there against Broken Bow. All right. Good stuff. Lots of baseball still today. And like I mentioned, 1 o'clock for the Big Elks. And McLeod Redskins, the Elks one win away from punching their ticket in to next week's area tournament. When we come back, a little NBA playoffs to finish off the week. What will the series, where will the series stand between Oklahoma City and New Orleans when we come in here Monday morning? And then what will be the major storyline of the playoffs with what you think could happen over the weekend when we come in on Monday morning? Skinny on Sports coming back to wrap up the week on a Garrison Financial Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
This is one of the most awesome experiences of my life because I'm getting to drive a race car. I can't believe it.
And welcome back. Wrapping up a Garrison Financial Friday right here on the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. You know what you can do today, Jared?
You can go watch baseball. You can enjoy this beautiful weather. You can go, I would guess, go eat some great food at Boomtown.
See, if it was me, I would go watch the baseball game at 1 or watch it on BigElkTV.com. Maybe you can talk Boomtown into putting it on.
That's a plan. That's a good idea.
But then, you know, game lasts hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. You're done by 3:30. Then I would go get 18 holes in. Because it is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then after that, yes, you'd miss happy hour, but you'd still have a chance to get down, watch the second and third rounds of the NFL draft at Boomtown Grill. What a perfect Friday that seems like, right? Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main here in Elk City. It has got everything. The cool thing about Boomtown is, like, you and your wife ever do this? Like, where are we going to go eat? Well, I don't really – I want this. Or, you know, you've got four of you trying to talk at the same time.
Kidding me?
I want this. I want that. I want that. Guess what?
You'll get nothing like it.
Yeah. as my old friend Larry Jones used to say back in the day, you can have ghost toasties, miss a meal, and air pudding.
That's good. I like that.
Or you can just go to Boomtown, and it's got something for everybody. From pizza to pastas to burgers to sandwiches, there's salads, there's steaks, chicken, seafood. There's everything at the Boomtown Grill. Happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, 12 big screen TVs, 11 cold beers on tap, 30 bottles and canned cold beer available in imports and domestics. Wine selection is humongous. Smoked Old Fashioned is their favorite drink. It's kind of a classic cocktail with a modern smoky twist. Boomtown Grill opens 7 days a week, 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, and then 11 to 11 on Friday and also on Saturday. Okay, Jared, Thunder off in a couple of days, obviously last night, tonight, and they'll be back at it at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. When we come in here on Monday, the series count will be what?
3-0. It's going to be... The matchups are all in favor of the Thunder, especially without Williamson. And it's so big getting that one seed, getting those two first playoff games at home. Clearly, they shook off the rust in that first game after their game two performance. They're going to keep it going. I'll say they come back three, or we come in here Monday talking about a possible sweep.
And so play again Monday down in New Orleans.
It's going to be closer than game two. I'll give New Orleans that. I mean, it's at home at Saturday afternoon. It'll be packed. They're doing the same thing. I heard this earlier this week. They're doing the same thing with the Thunder. Maybe the rest of the league is doing this, but opening the arena up earlier, cutting the prices of food and beer, getting the fans all juiced up and ready to go. So they'll be jacked up and having some fun, and it'll be tough. I think the Thunder are the better team. And there's the little fact of New Orleans has the worst home record in the league.
For a playoff team?
Is that what it is, for a playoff team or for this season?
Well, surely they don't have the worst record in the league.
Home record.
Yeah, I know, but there's teams that only won like 12 games total.
I thought it might be a playoff.
I bet it was for playoff teams. Yeah. Well, look, though.
But they also had the best road record. And it might have just been a playoff stat.
21-19 at home. But 28-14 on the road. Wow. Yeah, but I mean, there's teams that went 7-30. So I'm sure it's a playoff.
Maybe a playoff team with the worst home record. But that's what. Well, yeah, we'll be talking about a sweep. We were kind of hinting at that possibility after game two.
I think it'll be 2-1. I think New Orleans gets game three. Oklahoma City slams the door on Monday in game four, and then wins it at home in five. That's what I think will happen. Maybe I'm not giving the Thunder enough credit. Or I tell you what I'm trying not to do. I'm trying not to let my judgment be completely clouded by game two and not even consider what happened in game one.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be a fanboy about it too.
Yeah. But I could see it.
I just like the matchups better. I mean, they're totally frustrating Ingram. Chet has figured out how to play against Valanciunas. And then, of course, SGA is going to get his. Williams is going to – he's having fun. It's the matchups that are just so favorable for the Thunder, from what I've seen.
The one thing that normally happens in these playoff runs is that when the home team's kind of others, bench players, role players, the home teams normally play better than the road teams. Meaning, you know, like Wiggins was awesome the other night. You know, those guys that have, you know, play roles for the Thunder, they normally have a tougher time making shots on the road because they're not used, you know, they're just more comfortable on their home floor. And so that could mean you could see, you know, even a guy, this guy isn't necessarily a role player, but, you know, CJ McCollum has struggled a little bit shooting the basketball. Can he kind of get it back on track? Herbert Jones knocked down some shots after a struggle in the first night. You know, a guy that I thought was really going to be pesky and a problem that we haven't heard much from yet, but the home crowd might change that, is Jose Alvarado. When you watched him play, you know, against the Lakers, he was a big part of that comeback with the game that Zion got hurt against L.A. With his energy and just hustle plays,
right?
I can't
remember him being here the last first two games.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seemed like he was really, really making a difference. And so, you know, a guy like that hitting shots could make a difference. But, you know, I I could see what you're talking about. I feel like it's going to be a five-game series.
Now, real quick, the key to the game is just take the crowd out of it. Start hot, start early.
Yeah, Chet being able to make shots takes Valanciunas off the floor, and Valanciunas is kind of the biggest strength and advantage that New Orleans has. Mm-hmm. And it works exactly with the negative or the weakness that the Thunder have, and that's rebounding. And being able to kind of to root one of those big guys out of the paint. So that's Thunder. What will be the biggest storyline league-wide when we come in here on Monday?
What's going to happen? Okay, the biggest story is, I'll just give a broad answer here. LeBron and KD are done. They're swept out. They're done. The Phoenix plays tonight and Sunday, I believe.
That's what I was going to look at.
It's 3-0 Denver. They will turn around and play on Sunday too. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't give Phoenix much of a chance against Minnesota. And then to keep going here is what happens in Phoenix? What do they do? What's KD's next step? What happens in LA? I think one clear answer is Russell's done. But what do the Lakers do? So that's the kind of the big stars, again, changing of the guard. They're done after the first round after being swept out.
Okay, how about this one? I think the big storyline when we come in here on Monday is, could the Heat really beat the Celtics?
They pick it up tonight.
They play tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
But they'll just play one game. So they'll be just like the Thunder, just three games in.
So you're assuming
I think Miami wins game three.
Gets game three.
Yes.
They go up 2-1.
Yes, and that'll be the talk of the league is it happening again? Is Miami, as an 8 seed in the play-in, going to upset a 1 seed, and could it be this dominant Boston team? I don't think it's going to happen as far as the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that's the storyline in the league is, holy cow, maybe Boston isn't invincible. Embiid was awesome last night. Boy, he didn't look quite as hurt as he did the first couple. 50 spot put up on the Knicks as they win their first game to get back in that series a little bit, 2-1. Also Orlando, you kind of had an inkling of that yesterday, talking about the Magic and having a chance. They just absolutely destroyed Cleveland.
Yeah. Man, no problem.
Just destroyed it, of course.
They could even it up.
Denver again. Denver just has LA's number.
Has there ever been a series where a team got swept out
and had a double-digit lead in every game? You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think that would be the case, but that has
like
been so far.
That's like a cat playing with a mouse, right?
Yeah.
Thinking you got a chance until you don't, until we decide to turn it on. Them being the Nuggets. And it wouldn't shock me. We tune in Saturday night. Lakers are up 12, 14, 15, maybe even 20. And then at the end of the day, in the night, Denver's winning.
It's how it seems,
yeah.
Man. It's how it seems. It's almost like they're toying with them. I know they're not, but that's how it does seem like a little bit like they're just toying with them.
I'm taking pleasure in it. I love watching Lakers lose.
Especially LeBron.
Exactly. It's so fun. By the way, I finally saw the Chet commercial.
Chet and SGA?
No.
Oh, the KD one.
Not the AT&T one.
KD one.
The KD narrated one. Which KD is never on screen. You hear him. And so those who know go, oh, that's Durant. Oh, that's Chet. Makes you wonder. A lot of whispers going on.
Yeah, this is going to be a good summer topic.
Is he selling shoes or is he sending a message?
It's going to be a good summer topic that will probably be ongoing.
Yeah.
Of
well, it's going to always be a topic until Durant retires.
Or he comes back. One of the two. All right, good stuff. 1 o'clock today. Big Elks, McLeod, regional finals from Ackley Park. Come on out, man. There was a huge crowd on hand for that first game yesterday. A lot of kids took advantage.
It matters when the crowd's there. Get engaged.
When Jackson hit that first home run, you could almost barely hear each other talk.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend. It's been a great Garrison Financial Friday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.